Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker, and it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and then the best question wins the KSN polo shirt. If you want to submit a question to Ross, really easy. Just download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Ross button, or you could also email us at info@ksnsports.net. Ross, are you ready for the questions?
Absolutely.
All right, let's start with Steve from Potomac, Maryland, who says, do you think Jason Oway's NFL career will resemble that of Derek Wake or be more in the mode of Aaron Maben? And, of course, ooh, Derek Wake had a very nice NFL career. Aaron Maben, not so much.
Yeah, and who do you talk? Who do you ask about?
Jason Oway.
It's a really good question. I'm going to say Cameron Wake. I'm gonna like the upside of Derek Wake, or switch his name to Cameron. I'm gonna go with the upside of Oway. He's only played football for 5 years, and I thought he has extremely rare physical ability, extremely rare, and I think a lot of that, Jim, might be the fact that he landed in Baltimore. It's just a great spot. Great team, great culture, love the defense they run. I think he's in a really good spot. Good question, by the way.
I was going to mention that, too, that he went to the Ravens. It's nice to go to a good team, good program there. And, by the way, he also has in common with Cameron Wake changing his first name when he gets to the NFL, right?
You know what? That's a great point. Yeah, it went from Derek Wake and Jason Oway to Cameron Wake and Odafe Owe.
So if that doesn't tell you he's going to be a star in the NFL, nothing does, right?
Exactly.
Okay, let's go with Kevin from Milwaukee. He says, hey, Ross, it's concerning to me that in Sean Clifford's fifth season in the program, the only positives we ever hear about him is how hard he works and things like that. Those are great attributes, but to me it's like describing a girl you're just not into. Sure, she's nice and a good person, but at the end of the day, you're just not attracted to her. We never hear anything attractive about Clifford, like his strong arm, improved footwork, and going through all his progressions better. What are your thoughts on Clifford going into the season?
Well, I would say, you know, his physical gifts are probably average, right? So average arm strength, average speed, that's fine. They're not below average. And he has made a bunch of plays for Penn State the last couple years. He won a lot of games in his first year as a starter. It's actually interesting to me how Penn State seems to have more success McSorley's first year as a starter than they did the next 2 years, or Clifford's first year as a starter than they did the next year. It shouldn't really be that way. You know, you should get more out of that position, and you should be having more success when that player has more experience. So I don't think he's going to wow you a la Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields with his physical ability, but he's got enough physical ability. He really needs to wow you with the mental aspect, the mental side of the game, and he didn't last year. He was very disappointing in terms of how the decisions he made and taking care of the football. And look, I mean, I don't know what to say to the questioner, Jim. We don't. They got nobody else. It's like Richard Gere in that movie. We got no place else to go. I mean, we're not going to Roberson or Vayu. So we just got to hope they can get the most they can out of Clifford. And listen, Clifford, they very easily, okay, could have been an 11-1 or whatever it was. Yeah, 12-1 team with Clifford a couple years ago. you know, if they had won that Minnesota game. So he's plenty good enough if the guys around him are able to make plays if he doesn't turn the football over.
How do you account for that regression from the 2019 season to the 2020 season, Ross? How does the player get worse? Can you just put that out to new offensive coordinator and the whole COVID thing interruption last year? Or do you see something else as the issue?
So I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. New coordinator, new offensive line coach, you know, lost Hamler. None of us will ever know the impact of COVID and all that stuff, how it went through, you know, these guys. I still don't think any of that is enough for him to have performed as poorly as he did. But I think they were all contributing factors. And frankly, I don't have another or better explanation.
Gotcha. All right. Let's move on. Let's go to David in Lancaster, who says, starting the season against Wisconsin will be tough. With Yurcich being new, is it more of a plus that Wisconsin won't have film of the offense, or more of a negative that Penn State won't have a few easier games to get used to the new system and Yurcich to learn what players do the best?
I would say more of a negative, because the Wisconsin coaches will look at what Yurcich did at Oklahoma State, Ohio State, at Texas, and have a pretty good feel for what it is that he wants to do. I think they'll have a pretty good feel for what Yurcich likes to do schematically. The question is, how good of a feel will Penn State's players have, and how good of a feel will he have, Yurcich, for Penn State's players? I think it's, look, there is a positive to it, that there is a little bit of that element of surprise, element of unknown, because you don't know what he'll choose to do at Penn State. But I think it's more of a negative than a positive.
A year ago, Penn State had an all Big Ten schedule. So that meant the first game was a Big Ten game. It was Indiana. It was on the road. They lost that game. Things seemed to spiral out of control after that loss. It had a tremendous effect on them. How do you think Penn State mentally, knowing that happened in their 2020 season, does that kind of change how they're going into this Wisconsin game? How much do those intangibles mean to a football team, Ross?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's value in having an opponent this good right from the start, in the sense that, man, everybody knows they need to be geared up and ready to go for that first game. I think it's a tough matchup for Penn State. I mean, you know, Wisconsin's strength is always their offensive line. Penn State, we just did their rankings in the last segment, have their D-line as last. I guess it'll be a full jam-packed stadium at Wisconsin, Camp Randall. Those people will absolutely be going berserk, like uncaged animals after however many months of the pandemic. That is a hornet's nest type of game for Penn State. They're going to need to get off to a fast start. I do think, though, and I know I've heard Nick Saban say this, that there's kind of some value in having that first game to point to being a really big one and a really important one. Because, you know, if you're playing Southwest Missouri State, you know, the guys aren't maybe quite as focused as they should be playing against a team like Wisconsin.
And you don't learn a whole lot playing Southwest Podunk University for that first game either. Let's see. Brad from Perkasy says, in recruiting, they say high floor or high ceiling. With that being said, would you rather have a high floor, low ceiling guy, or low floor, high ceiling guy, and why?
Well, I guess it depends on what type of coach you are and how much confidence you have in yourself. And I think it's impossible to answer that question, Jim, without knowing what kind of kid he is. Like, if you told me he's a good kid, he's hardworking, he listens to what you say, does the best of his ability, then I'll take the high ceiling guy. If he's kind of a knucklehead but has physical ability, I'd rather have the high floor guy. You know, I was a high floor, low ceiling type of guy, but I think if you have a high floor, that means at worst you're going to be serviceable or solid, and you can win a lot of games with a lot of solid football players. It's hard to win it with guys that, you know, really struggle or are liabilities. So it's always a combination of both, certainly. And I guess you could say with the volume they have in college football, if you take a bunch of high-ceiling guys, you hit on half of them, that's 10 to 12 guys in recruiting class. That's great. But the percentage just isn't that high.
How much does position affect that? You know, I think you recruiting running backs, I don't want to say is easy, but I think it's easier than offensive linemen. So varying on the position, does that change how you look at a recruit's floor and ceiling?
Maybe a little bit. You know, maybe a little bit. And I think you always want to have a mix of both in a recruiting class, right? You want to have guys that you feel like are safer bets and guys that you're, you know, rolling the dice on a little bit more. So you have that good mix. But maybe at receiver or D-line, you know, you go for that high-ceiling guy and you hope you win the lottery like an Odafe Owe type, where they went with the guy with the high ceiling, with the physical ability, and, you know, he had a couple nice years for Penn State.
All right, let's see if we could sneak one in real quick here. Steve from Chicago says, hey, Ross, can you explain what a franchise player tag means in the NFL and how it impacts money a player can earn?
Oh, wow. It just means that the player is not a free agent. He really can't go to another team, even though his contract expired. He gets the average of the top five guys at the position for that 1 year, so he doesn't get the big guarantees or long-term guarantees that a lot of times they want and they're looking for. It's only a one-year deal, but the team gets to retain the player and not have to worry about him leaving.
Very good, Ross. That is it for Ask Ross. Stick around. Quarter number four, A'Shea returns, and we're going to name our winner. Stay tuned.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.